You know, it's been about 3 weeks since we were in the book of Matthew. And for those that don't know, we started about 2.5 years or so ago, verse 1, chapter 1 of the book of Matthew, and we're going through it verse by verse. It'll take us several more months to get to the end. Today, we are in chapter 24, where we were 3 weeks ago, and we're picking up on the next verses. So, that's kind of where we are and why we're on these particular verses. The title of today's message is actually called, What's Next? What's Next? Jesus gave his disciples an indication of the types of signs that would be signals for his return. He mentioned wars, famine, earthquakes. Oh my. It doesn't sound like the yellow brick road to Oz, does it? Well, of course, his main objective in sharing this warning is to tell his people to be prepared. To be prepared for what's next. To be prepared for what's coming in the future. And now Jesus continues talking to his disciples, telling them what's going to happen next. Chapter 24 of Matthew, we're picking up in verse 9 through 14, and we'll start just with verse 9. Jesus says this to those guys. He says, then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world. Why? Because you are my followers. The word then indicates that these verses describe matters that happen at the same time as the events that we just covered 3 weeks ago. Verses 4 through 8, the idea of wars, famines, and earthquakes are a signal of his return. The Lord was telling his disciples what to expect in the last days. That is the time between his ascension and his return. We're in the last days. Now, just to put it in perspective, we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. So it could be any day or it could be many years from now. But we're in the last days. So this message is even for us today. This triggers these things that are going to happen before his return triggers the beginning of the end of the world. And he's already described in these past verses what will be going on in the world before his return. Well, now in today's verses, he's going to describe what things will be happening in the church. Not just the Caddis Fringe church, but the church of Jesus Christ all over the world. The first thing he's going to tell us is that he's told us in the verse I just read is that the church will be hated. The church will be hated. Now, did you know that true Christian faith brings life? Amen? True Christian faith brings peace. True Christian faith brings love and joy. Man, that sounds great. But did you know that there's a cost to being a Christian? That Jesus said to his disciples, and he's saying it to us, you'll be arrested, you'll be persecuted, you'll be killed, and you'll be hated because you're my followers. You know, I'm not sure that's going to be a good marketing campaign to get people to accept Christianity. What do you think? But you know, my immediate thought when I considered that is, in a way, that's how drug companies market their medicines. There's a commercial for a medicine for Crohn's disease called Skyrizi. And the commercial shows a group of young people on vacation. They're taking a tram ride up the side of a mountain. And then they're walking over a bubbling stream. They play horseshoes and go fishing. The assumption is that they have Crohn's, but because they take this medicine, they're having the time of their lives. And then the narrator of the commercial says, ask your gastroenterologist how to take control of your Crohn's with Skyrizi. Well, for goodness sakes, even though I don't have Crohn's, sign me up for that prescription medicine. That sounds great. I want to do all those things. But you know, finally the commercial comes to an end, and the narrator has a few more things to share. Very quickly. The narrator says Skyrizi may cause some serious side effects, including serious allergic reactions. Fainting, dizziness, feeling lightheaded, swelling of face, eyelids, lips, mouth, tongue, or throat, trouble breathing or throat tightness, chest tightness, skin rash, hives, and itching. You know, for the last 3 years, Jesus has been telling his disciples and other people about the benefits of being a follower of his. But at the same time, he's been telling them about the cost to follow him. In the verse we just read, Jesus shared some of the negative side effects of following him. He foretold that his followers would face arrest, death, hatred, and persecution. The word persecuted gives the idea of being put under pressure. Even Christians in the United States experienced this. But in other countries, believers have been and are being put to death. And the reason for this hatred is clear in Scripture. In our sin, that is, in our sin before we come to Christ, in our sin, we rebel against God. We therefore resent whatever reminds us of God's claim on our lives. We might even resent those who have decided to follow Jesus. There's a cost to be counted by every Christian in these last days. Did I tell you we're in the last days? But just like Skyrizi is a blessing to those that have psoriasis or Crohn's disease, the benefits of following Christ far, far outweigh the costs of following him. And by the way, just in case you're wondering, I have not taken a part-time job as a pharmaceutical rep. So don't take Skyrizi just based on today's sermon. So back to our verses today. Jesus continues with his list of things that will happen before his return. Our next verses are verses 10 through 13. So let's look at those. We've already found out that the church will be hated, and now we're going to find out that the church will be hassled. Sadly, the church, again, we're talking about the greater church of Jesus Christ. Sadly, the church does not stand true and faithful, watching and waiting in the end times. The Lord also warned his disciples of how the professing church would fall away. There's three things he tells us in these verses. First of all, in verse 10, he says that many will be compromised. The word he uses is they will turn away. The word turn away is in connection with the shock of discovering that a cross lies at the heart of God's plan. Jesus warned that many supposed Christians would turn on each other in betrayal and hatred rather than accept self-denial and suffering. In verse 11, he tells us that many will be confused. False prophets bring a religious message dressed up as a word from God. The range of sects and cults show that they do deceive many. So we need to stay true. We need to stay true to these things, true to Scripture, true to faith alone, in Christ alone, and by grace alone. Let me say that again because this is critical. We need to stay true to Scripture alone, to faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone. And the third thing he tells us, it's in verse 12, he says that many in the church will grow cold. The Lord foretold that people would increasingly reject God's law, and that in consequence, the love of many, the love for God, the love for others, would grow cold. Love for and obedience to God are closely linked. And when the spiritual temperature around us drops, we need to stay close to the Lord. Did you notice in just those three verses how many times Jesus used the word many? So it sounds like the majority of the church doesn't follow him as the end of times gets closer and closer. But there's good news. The good news is that along with the prediction of many in the church falling away, the Lord added the promise of some staying true. And that's in verse 13. Who will be saved? The one who endures to the end will. This is a promise that God will give persevering grace. God will give persevering grace. And it's also a promise that God will give grace to those who persevere. Do you see how they just kind of go back and forth? He gives us grace to persevere through all this stuff happening in the end times. And yet, he preserves us with his grace. And I'm thankful for grace. If you knew my past, you would not be thinking that I should be sitting here. And I bet if I knew some of your past, you may not think you'd be here. But because of God's grace, we're all here. And because of God's grace, we have the opportunity to accept Jesus as our Savior and have grace and mercy cover us so that we're right with God whenever the end comes. I've mentioned this several times over the years that before I come to church, I go to church. For over 40-some years, I've been listening to Dr. Charles Stanley on a TV program called In Touch. And this morning, there's always two messages I've listened to for an hour. And his message was talking about mercy in particular. So grace and mercy are very similar. He's talking about God's mercy and how our sin can never be greater than God's mercy. In other words, if our sin is here, God's mercy is here. If our sin is here, oh, you've done some bad things, Bob, God's grace is here. And if our sin is here, God's grace is here. In other words, what he's trying to say is that the Bible says, that God says, grace is always greater than any or all of our sin. Keep that in mind. Here's the final verse for today, verse 14. And the good news about the kingdom is that it will be preached throughout the world so that, catch this word, all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. So far, Jesus has been telling his disciples there's going to be war, famine, earthquakes. There's going to be people who try to deceive, saying that they're God or they're preaching the word, but they're really not. There's all those things have been happening for a long time. And also even the preaching of the word has been happening for a long time. But catch this. Until recent developments in technology, the concept of the whole world getting access to the Bible or the gospel message really seemed impossible. But the internet has changed everything. Especially now that access can come through satellites in space. Today, AI or artificial intelligence is taking even Bible translation to new, higher levels. They can get a translation of the Bible in a new person's language very quickly and easily now, so to speak. So we are very close to every person on the planet having access to God's word in their own language. Jesus told his disciples that the end would come when the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is preached to all nations. Did I tell you we're in the end times, the last days? We've been there for 2,000 years. I'm guessing it's closer than it was 2,000 years ago. So we've learned so far that the church will be hated, the church will be hassled, and now with these verses, the church will be preaching. As many bad things that are happening in the church in the end times, the good news is they'll be preaching, and that's what we're doing here today. Even though the church faces external pressures and internal problems, the church in the end times keeps on preaching. It brings good news about the kingdom. That is the message Jesus proclaimed of salvation through him. The gospel will be brought as a testimony to all nations. God's mercy is for all, even as we will all face judgment. But when the good news of Jesus is heard by the whole world, then the end will come, is what Jesus is saying. And at that time, the watching and waiting will be over. Until then, we as Christians are to stand firm in our faith and make Jesus known to others. You don't have to sit or stand up here to make Jesus known to others. You don't have to have memorized the whole Bible. You don't have to know all the types of prayers that could be prayed. What you can do to make Jesus known to others is just tell them what you know about Jesus in your life. So the bottom line for today's message, as I bring it to a close, the bottom line from Jesus is, don't be afraid, be prepared. Don't be afraid, be prepared. And the question might be asked, be prepared for what? Well, be prepared for his return. Because he's coming back, according to the Bible. And the next thing that could happen, with all the prophecies that have been fulfilled, really for 2,000 years, the very next thing that could happen is Jesus could return in what the Bible calls, not using this word, but a Greek word that means the same thing, the rapture. That Jesus, in the book of Thessalonians, the letter of Thessalonians, Paul talks about the fact that there will come a day when a trumpet will sound. I don't understand all this. And when that trumpet sounds, all the dead in Christ, those that have been Christians but died before his return, all the dead in Christ will rise to meet him in the air. And then those who are still living that are Christians, they will go up in the air to meet him too. And then bad things start happening in the world. And we'll talk more about that even in next week and the next week's messages as we continue for verse through chapter 24. So in other words, be prepared for his return. The other thing is be prepared to meet Jesus if you die before he returns. And maybe that's the more likely thing that could happen. You see, Jesus is either coming to us or we're going to him. Are you prepared? If the answer is yes, then as Jesus says, keep watching and waiting. And if the answer is no, then I invite you to ask Jesus to come into your heart right now. You don't have to come up here. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to do it this moment. If the Lord starts impressing on you that this is something you're not prepared for, maybe even on your way home, or sometime today or this week, you'll remember what we have just said through the scripture, and you'll get prepared. I invite you to ask Jesus to come into your heart right now, to be saved into the eternal presence of Jesus. You know, we use that word, and the Bible uses this word, that you get saved. Well, saved from what? Saved from the eternal absence of God in your life. Some people might say, well, you know, I don't go to church, I don't pray, I don't read the Bible. I'm already absent from God, and nothing's hurting me. The thing of it is, you're not absent from God. You're surrounded by God through the Holy Spirit that lives in all Christians. There'll be a time where if you don't accept Christ on this side of eternity, on the other side, he'll be completely absent. And that'll be a totally different way of living in eternity. So my plea is to start following him today. Be prepared, and be prepared to meet him one day in person. I'd like everyone just to, however you want to pray, eyes open, eyes closed, head up, head bowed, doesn't matter. But I want to end today's message by sharing this prayer that you could pray. You don't have to say the exact words. I've shared this many times that there was a thief on the cross when Jesus was being crucified. There was a thief and murderer on either side of Jesus. As he was dying, one of the thieves was mocking Jesus, saying, "Hey, if you're the Son of God, why don't you get us out of this predicament?" And the other one said, "Stop talking like that." This other one recognized this was Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. And his prayer to be saved was this: "Remember me." He says, "When you come into your kingdom, would you remember me?" And Jesus didn't say, "Well, how many times did you go to church? How much money did you put in the offering? How many scriptures have you memorized? Did you go to church, King? Have you been a good boy or a good girl?" Jesus responded immediately, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." The guy waited to the last moments of his life to come to Jesus, and Jesus accepted him. So let's pray this final prayer. If you've never done this before and you feel, you sense in your spirit that God is asking you to come, you can pray something like this. Just say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I want to turn from my sins. I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus is your Son. I believe he died for my sins. And I believe you, Father, raised him to life. So I'm asking him to come into my heart today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." And if you sincerely prayed that prayer, you're saved. And now you can live the rest of your life following Jesus and reaping all the benefits as you count the cost of following him. As I always end every message on Sunday, I say this to take you through the week. I say, go now and be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for being here.